Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm so glad you could join us. My name is Preston Dennett, and I'll be your host tonight. And each week, I bring you exciting new guests to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you enjoyed our show last week. It was amazing, actually. Our guest was Jesse Marcel Jr., who was the son of Jesse Marcel Sr., and who was the first intelligence officer to get to the Roswell UFO crash site. And our guest, Jesse Marcel Jr., actually did handle the wreckage, which his father brought home. An amazing story. He's just released a new book. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that show, it is on the archives. So go ahead and visit that when you get a chance and check it out. Very interesting. Tonight is the night before Halloween, so I think it's only suitable that we have a guest who can talk about ghosts, and someone who can talk about ghosts with authority because they have actually experienced ghostly phenomena. And in fact, our guest has experienced a wide variety of ghostly phenomena, and I interviewed her extensively. She is my sister-in-law, and she is really an amazing person. She's one of the most psychic people I know. I'll give you one example. We were at an intersection in a vehicle waiting to cross the intersection. It was a red light, and to our left was a very large truck, so you couldn't see down the street. When our guest tonight, Christy is her name, suddenly said out of the blue, "Beware of buses that run red lights." Now, there was no bus visible. It was just an odd thing to say. When the light turned green and we were about to go through it, when this bus, a very large RTD bus, runs a red light. How she knew that, I don't know. It's just one example of many I could give you of some of these amazing visions she's had. She's also had some incredible encounters with UFOs and aliens and was visited as a child by ETs. She's had a near-death experience. And as far as ghosts, well, I'm just going to have to let her tell you some of the things that she's seen, because she has seen a lot. So I'm really excited to have her on the show tonight. She's worked with me in my investigations from the very beginning, on my books like UFOs Over Topanga Canyon. She was there and started illustrating for me for that, and we've been working together now for almost 20 years. And she has amassed an enormous collection of true life artwork. Artwork that is actually representing true life experiences of UFOs, of ghosts, and what have you. And she's illustrated many of my books and the books of many other authors and researchers. So she's really quite accomplished in this field, and I'm very, very lucky to be partnered with her. And I want to just basically welcome her to the show. Christy, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you. Wow, thanks about all those things you said about me. I feel so great.
Well, you know how I feel about you. I love you, and I think you're awesome.
Well, the feeling's mutual. I was just thinking, you know, I actually have been illustrating ghost books recently, so I watch ghost stories, and I try to get really involved with all the ghost stuff when I'm illustrating. But I wanted to say to the audience, you know, while you're sitting there listening to the radio, you probably have some company with you, and it's true for everybody. There's ghosts everywhere, and it's just a matter of being aware of it. Some ghosts make themselves aware. And the experiences that I've had with that is when I was in high school, and I had a friend named George Johnson, and he always complained about his ghosts because they would do weird things to him. And I was really intrigued. I wanted to see, you know. He would talk about him kind of briefly because he didn't really want to give it much attention. but apparently he lived in the garage, and he had this huge record collection, about 250 records or more, probably. And when he would clean his room, he would leave to go get some, you know, stuff like drinks and whatever he wanted to put in his refrigerator and come back, and everything would be balancing in his room. Now, personally, I never saw it. I just heard the stories, you know.
That's typical poltergeist behavior. They do that. I'm not sure why. I'm not exactly sure why.
I think with him, he was a teenager, and I noticed that a lot of teenagers get poltergeist activity. And his mother, she seems very mystical to me. She's very Christian right now, and I can understand why. She probably was the one that had most of the activity happening throughout her life.
Right.
But what I saw was when I came over to see him, he invited me into his house, and he started saying, see what I have to go through? Look what they're doing. And I saw right in front of me, there was like a fireplace that he had. It was a fairly large fireplace. The bricks went pretty far up. I don't know what that's called. And then there was the wall. And on the wall to the side of the fireplace were two pictures. And they were just moving like somebody was taking them and moving them back and forth, swinging them back and forth on their little nail. And he had a little scruffy-looking poodle and a little gray kitty. And both of them were looking at the pictures. Cat was hissing, and the dog was growling. And the pictures were going, sliding, you know, waving back and forth, and he says, see what I have to go through? It just makes me mad. And then we left and went out for dinner.
Yeah, his story is really amazing. I remember he had little ghostly animals running through the house, he said, always. And you know what was one really weird manifestation he had, which I've only heard one other time? He said he'd turn on the faucet occasionally, you know, usually it would work, but he turned it on occasionally, the water would come out sideways.
Yeah.
And that's
he never told me that.
Well, that's what he told me, and which is, you know, I totally believe him because of what the other ladies told me who lived in a haunted apartment. This was in Van Nuys, where they lived, and they had the same exact thing. They said they'd turn on the water faucet, and it was like somebody was pressing their hand up against it or something. The water would come out sideways. Now, how can you
really
make up something like that?
You can.
Right?
No, and it's so physical. That's the part that's amazing about that, is it's very, very physical in our plane of existence, you know?
Well, right. And, you know, his neighbors were also had a very, very haunted house, his next-door neighbors.
Oh, really?
He said it was it's at least as bad as his, if not worse. And he went over there one time and into their garage, and it was as cold as ice, and they told him, yeah, someone hung himself here in the house. So maybe what it was.
Maybe he was just trying to get attention. Because from what I can gather, ghosts don't know that they're dead, or either they're kind of stuck, or the event. This is what I was thinking about the other night, which is really funny that you'd want to interview me because it's been on my mind, is there's different degrees of haunting, and there's different experiences with those hauntings. Like for me, I'll get, there's two instances that I can think of right now where I saw fully solid people. And it wasn't in my mind. They were outside of me. And the first time was when I moved into this house, and I liked one of the guys, which is my husband right now. And I snuck into his room when he went into work, laid on his bed, and looked up at the ceiling because he had a picture of Lord of the Rings poster above his bed.
Right, right.
And I was thinking, oh, what's this person like? He's so neat. I like him. And then I look over, and there's this man looking at me, and he's this old guy. He's bald. He had this beautiful smile, just a beautiful, shiny smile, and he was probably about in his late 50s, early 60s, and he had these little black, or kind of not really black, but straps to hold his pants up, and this little collared shirt, you know, and he wasn't
right.
From our time. He was from another time, you know, kind of, I'd say in the 50s maybe. And so I just was surprised, and he just was looking down at me, and then poof, he's gone.
Huh.
So I told...
He was looking straight at you? He was looking you in the eye?
Yeah, he was standing above me, next to the bed, looking down at me.
Wow.
So if you can imagine lying down in bed and having somebody look down at you,
right.
That's what he was doing. And so I told Marco about it, my husband, and he said that his grandfather had died, and he never knew what his grandfather, or never knew his grandfather. And... before he was born, and he showed me a picture, a wedding picture of his mother and the father, and it was that guy. It was his grandfather.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, really cool. And the second really full-on apparition was in Las Vegas just about a month ago. I was out seeing a wedding. And we decided to stop on the way home to check out the architecture of Las Vegas. And I was in one of the casinos that has these beautiful gardens within the casino, and there was one that was of orchids.
Right.
And I just remember being really drawn to this one particular garden. It was just gorgeous. It had the most beautiful orchids there. And I walked over there, and I just kind of looked at the flowers, and I felt so good. And then there was this lady standing really close to me, and she was older. I saw every single detail of her. She had long, white hair. It was kind of past her shoulders. She was probably about in her 70s, probably 72. She was fairly thin. She was wearing white khaki shorts that showed her legs, and her legs were kind of like chicken legs. They weren't like chicken legs. They were little thin legs,
right.
And little white sandals. And she wore this shirt that was kind of like a white safari kind of shirt with the collar and everything. And I was thinking to myself, why is she standing so close to me? And all of a sudden, I think she realized I was aware of her because I heard a really loud sound. And it was a kind of like a popping sound. It was loud. It was like if you took a paper bag and blew it up and then hit it, it would pop, right?
Right.
And my husband heard it too. It was right next to me where she was standing, and I told him, I said, oh, my God, there's this woman that was standing next to me. I think she was a ghost. And and all of a sudden, or no, wait, I said, did you hear that popping sound? He said, yeah, I heard the popping sound. I said, boy, she was solid. She was completely solid. And he grabbed both my shoulders, lifted me up, and walked me away really fast. And I always wondered why he did that.
Huh.
I just like went, why did whatever possessed him to do that?
Maybe he sensed the energies somehow, or was, you know, being protective.
I think he was obviously he was being protective, because that's what he does when he gets protective. He kind of grabs me and moves me from one point to another. But that was really weird.
Did you see her straight on, or was she in your peripheral vision?
She was in my peripheral, but kind of forward into the peripheral.
Okay.
So I'd say she was nose to nose to me, if you were to angle it out.
Huh. Could she have run away in that quick of a time? You know,
she popped out. She just popped out, you know? I think she left so fast that she actually created a sound.
Maybe that's what it was.
Have you ever heard of something like that?
Well, yes, sort of. I mean, ghosts will make noises sometimes when they leave. I have heard that. One person told me that they heard a weird moaning sound. They had a really haunted house for years, and then one night they woke up, the whole house was moaning.
They walked
through the house looking for the sound, right? It was kind of an eerie, otherworldly sound, they said, and echoey and moaning, and it suddenly just stopped, and they never had a problem with ghosts after that. And I think that was the ghost leaving.
Probably.
And I'm trying to think of other cases like that. I'm sure I've heard of that, of popping noises and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting?
If I sense something, I know it's a ghost. And that's my ability, is sensing things. I can feel it in my gut. And whenever I go somewhere or touch anything, I can feel the energy, and also I get like images or impressions of what's going on. You know, it's not just a feeling.
Right. Well, you had a really remarkable experience. You had a friend, I guess, whose brother died, and he was really upset about it. This is a chapter in the book California Ghosts, which I interviewed you about, and he could actually provoke his brother's ghost into an appearance.
Yeah. I lived in the room. I guess it was his room. I'm not sure. It was a fairly old house. It was built in 1945. And there were probably six rooms in that house. It was a large house. And all the rooms except for the master bedroom were occupied, and they gave me the master bedroom because I was the only woman there. And so there was a closet with an attic in it where you could move a little door, and there was a storage space above the closet, and you could walk into the closet. And that's where he was all the time, most of the time, was in there. And I always knew he was there. I just knew he was. Maybe they stored his stuff there. That's probably why I knew, because his energy was in there. And so I would go and I would talk to him all the time about things. And I talked to him about Marco, too. Or not Marco, about the guy that I was with, his brother. And when I was in his brother's room, okay, I'm thinking of two different things. Okay, his brother's room. He had a hanging wicker chair, and in those days, in the 70s, that was like the in thing to have.
Right, and I remember those.
Where you sit in it and listen to music or whatever.
Right.
And how he had it set up was that it was hanging in between two large speakers, so he would sit down into the wicker chair and listen to the music. So what he would do is he would turn on the music really loud, and he'd say, "Watch the chair." And the chair would start swinging all by itself to the music. And there was no way or nobody there swinging the chair. It did it all by itself, and it always did it with the music, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. he had a hard time with his brother's death because he was in a car accident with him, and he was the driver, and the person that died didn't have, or his brother didn't have a seat belt. So he always was aware of his brother. He was the one that told me his brother was up there in the closet. So he was always aware of his brother's presence, and so was I. And the interesting thing about that is he looked like Marco.
Oh, wow.
His brother did. So when Marco made friends, and this is indirect association, which is really trippy. This happens to me a lot in life, where I didn't know about Marco, but indirectly I was connected to him. And this happened several times in my lifetime with Marco. So that's a really interesting phenomena and worth researching. Is
it's like fate.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's fate, you know? I think it's just like everything else, this other dimension, you know? And and time is not linear. Time overlaps itself, and that's one way to see ghosts, is through this overlapping layer of time. It's almost like you time travel, you know?
Right.
Instead of seeing a ghost, you're time traveling and seeing a moment in history.
It's funny you say that, because that's one of the new theories to explain ghosts. I mean, of course, I think a lot of encounters are actual ghostly spirits. The spirits of people who have died. I think that's the best explanation. But there's also, of course, residual hauntings, which are kind of like echoes, which are somehow embedded into the environment. Then there's poltergeists, which could be caused by a disturbed individual who has suppressed their feelings and emotions, which have become exteriorized into a sort of a telekinetic, bursts of telekinetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this last theory, which is kind of like a time slip. It's just kind of like what you're talking about, where people are peering into the past, or the future for that matter.
Yeah, and then there's the dimensions.
Right.
Where...
Well, go ahead. You know what's interesting about the case with the chair, is what I was going to say, is that it would only swing to one song. Right?
Yeah.
Which was as I remember, Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb.
Right. That's right.
That was his brother's, liked that song.
Favorite song. That's right.
Right.
And he looked like Marco, my husband, and Marco was best friends with the youngest brother of that family at the time. So, yeah, that's really amazing. And everybody, when they first met Marco, kind of took a step back because Marco looked very much like him. So I always wonder, you know, when I was talking to him up in the closet about his brother, if he didn't do a little matchmaking for me.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Christine Kisara Dennett. She is my sister-in-law, and she is also the subject of several chapters of my book, California Ghosts, which tells 26 different cases of ghostly encounters, including several of hers. She's also a very accomplished artist in this field of UFOs and the paranormal, and outside of it for that matter. But within this field, she's like one of the top people in this field and has produced hundreds, if not 1,000, pictures portraying actual events, such as UFO encounters and ghostly encounters. She does have a website. You want to give your website out?
Sure. My website is kisaraart.com. And Kesara is spelled K-E-S-A-R-A and then art.com. And I call most of my art, or I put Kesara on most of my art because it looks pretty. And it has some really special significance to me. It was given to me by a Vietnamese monk, and it means beautiful flower. So I always kind of use that name to say to everybody that I devote my life to my artwork and the service of that artwork. So mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay, Kesara Art. All one word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kesara Art. Check it out. There's an amazing site. She can actually draw aliens exactly how people describe them, like a police sketch artist. So it's quite an amazing ability to have.
It's really fun.
You know, I want to talk a little bit more about your art and how you do that kind of thing in just a little bit, but I want to get through some more of your amazing ghost stories first.
Oh, okay. You might have to remind me.
Okay. And you have
You know, it's so weird because I've had so many, and it just kind of goes all into a blur, you know?
Right. Well, for you, it's normal. It's not so much paranormal, and you grew up with it. And by that, I mean the haunted armoire.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
A good story.
That's a really good one. I was sleeping, I was house-sitting for my mother, and it's the house that I grew up in. Now, the interesting thing about this house is it's on a hill, a little hill in Woodland Hills, and it used to be the property of a silent film actress, and I don't know her name, but she's from 1932, and she lived in Woodland Hills, and she owned all the property around this area that I lived in. And I truly believe that she's the one that is haunting the place, or her home is kind of like a portal, because a lot of very interesting things used to happen in that area near her home. And the man that lived in her home was a very interesting gentleman. He was a gay man, and he had two, I think they're called chow chows with the blue tongues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he used to save bags of their hair. And so whenever I'd go over to the house, he'd have bags of the hair on the spiral staircase. And I guess in the house there was a spiral staircase in the house, but the house was really quite cluttered, you know. So I really think that she was the one that was haunting that whole area. And when I was sleeping over, now, it happened around 3:35 in the morning. And that's about the time when I would wake up all the time as a child, too. So I'm pretty sure that's the active time for ghostly visits. But I would wake up. I woke up out of a dead sleep. So I just like, boop, I'm awake. I'm wide awake. And I look up, and right in front of the bed is a antique armoire, and it has a little handle that hangs. So when you open the armoire, you have to grab the handle and turn it to its side. And when you turn it to its side, it pushes the latch in. It opens the door. Well, what I saw was that it was doing it all by itself. The little hanging brass handle was turning up. It was lifting up all by itself. And then I heard the door go click, and it started to open really slow. And I'm like shaking Marco, shaking him by the shoulder, going, "Wake up, Marco! You get to see a ghost! Wake up!" And he would not wake up at all. And the funny thing is, the door was starting to open. When I started doing that, it stopped. And then it and it kind of slowly closed, lifted up the latch and closed the door.
Weird.
Like, uh-oh, she saw me.
Huh. Now, is it unusual for you not to be able to wake Marco up? Like,
yeah. Well, he is a heavy sleeper, but I was really shaking him.
There's a thing called psychic sleep, and that turns up in cases like this. It's weird.
I wanted him to see it, though. He had never seen ghost activity, you know?
Right.
He always sees all the UFOs. He saw last night a UFO, and I think 4 days ago a UFO.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's active these days. So.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Every time I keep missing it. And every time he goes out, he sees him. I'm like, now God.
You had a medium walk through the house at one point, right? Is that right?
That's right. He walked through the house and he saw her. And the image that he saw was really kind of interesting. It was a woman with a giant red Bible. And she would walk through the house with this Bible. She was about 5'2". She wore a cloak. She had black hair, long black hair, and she'd walk through the house with this giant red Bible, the same house that I'm talking about. And he said that, what did he say? I can't remember what he said about her, but she was saying something. And when I was young, I used to sing to the ghosts. I would always sing to them. Yeah,
wow.
And they haunted my son, too.
My son was
10 years old, and he was in the kitchen, and he saw the cabinets and the doors open. So he was staying there by himself because we had to go out get some food or whatever. I think he was 10 or 12. And so I get a phone call from him, and he says, "Can you come and pick me up?" And I go, "Why?" And he said, "Because I closed all the cabinet doors and all the drawers, and I left. I went to the bathroom. I came back out, and they were all open."
Wow.
And it freaked him out really bad. And that's never happened to me in that house. It only happened to him. And apparently, it happened at my apartment, too, to him. So in two different locations, the same thing happened.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lecture on ghosts last night at the Torrance Library. And this lady came up to me after the lecture to share her story, which I'd like to share because it's just really interesting. She's having a lot of experiences with this ghost, and then it would manifest objects. It would not only take objects, but it would manifest them. And this ring appeared, like, you know, a ring you put on your finger. And it had these really bizarre designs on it, like a serpent, or something with claws, kind of almost like a monster-looking thing, right? Carved onto it, and it was a gold ring. And she's like, "Wow, this is amazing." She put it on the table, and she didn't move it, and she came back, and it was gone. Not long later, she's walking through her house, and right in the middle of the floor is a gold coin, right? Could not have been put there. She goes, she picks it up, and it's got that same exact engraving on it that the ring had.
Huh.
Which is this, like, creature, this thing.
Does she remember the design?
Yeah, well, she does. She was describing it to me. She said that its arms came out and it was, like, coming towards you, this figure.
But it
was bizarre. And the same thing happened. She put it on the table and the coin disappeared.
Did she actually see it disappear? Or?
No. No, she didn't.
Oh, that's
but
really
it's a valuable thing. Those were really valuable artifacts, you know?
Yeah.
So ghosts can do amazing things.
Somebody was trying to tell her something.
Right. Well, I got her number. I'm going to interview her.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So there.
Yeah, because I think that's a very significant message. It's something, trying to tell her something, you know. Let her
right.
know or give her information.
It's just so unusual. I mean, you don't get a lot of ghost cases where ghosts are manifesting objects. I mean, it does happen. Now, there's another case I wanted to talk about before we talk a little bit about your art, which was the Adventures in Table Lifting.
Now, oh, yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about how you experienced table lifting?
Yeah, that's the other haunting, is astral projection. People that astral plane could be
right.
ghosts.
Okay. That's true.
But, yeah.
Another explanation.
I had this reoccurring dream over and over and over again. I'm just going to mention this. It was the same house. I kept dreaming about this house. I would walk through this house. I knew where the bathrooms were. I knew where the outside was. I knew what all the things in the walls, all the objects that they had in this house. I knew where all the furniture was. I mean, I knew this house inside and out because I kept dreaming about it. And I think I dreamt about this house for at least 3 or 4 months. I was working over at this t-shirt factory where we were mass producing t-shirts and hand painting them. And the women over there always talked a lot about their experiences and things. And I always tell people about my experiences, my metaphysical experiences, and this one lady, she's an older woman, said, "Well, my daughter table taps, and she's in town right now. Would you like to meet her?" And I was so excited, you know. I should have brought you, too. I kicked myself for not bringing you. But I was so excited, I thought it was only proper that I came by myself because I didn't really know her that well, and I thought it would be rude to bring someone else, you know. What ends up when I get over to the house, I knew that house. That was the house I'd been dreaming about. I knew exactly. It was so weird. It was like I knew the street. I was driving up. I'm going, I know this place. And I just walked into the house, and it was like a very familiar place, and it tripped me out. And it ended up that there were like 20 people there. And they were all sitting there table tapping and taking turns. It was a small table. It was a card table, actually, which are great tables for table tapping. I mean, people would say, "Oh, they're too light and blah, blah, blah." But there's something about a card table that makes it very easy for the spirits to come through it. I think that it's the way it's made. I don't know. Anyhow, they were all table tapping, you know. They're all like, laughing and getting excited, and the energy was really high in there, and it was in the living room, and so they invited me to sit down and table tap, and I had no idea how to, so they told me how. There's 4 people at the card table, and so each person would put their hands on the table flat and relax and just think, is anybody there? Is anybody there that wants to talk to us? Does anybody want to come and talk to us? Come and talk to us. Show us that you're here. Come through the table. And Marcel was the woman that does the table tapping. She was talking to the spirits, and that's what she was saying. And before we even table tapped, I did an interview with her just real quick. When she went to college is where she learned how to table tap. And she said she was looking for a sorority to be a part of. She found this one sorority, and they all knew about her. They all knew her driver's license number. They all knew personal things about her. Like, she didn't really mention too much about it, but they knew the number of the dollar bill in her wallet. They knew a lot of things that they couldn't possibly have gotten anywhere else.
Wow.
And she was wondering, how do you know? And she said, and they said, oh, we table tap. And so that's where she learned how to do it, was at her sorority. And she said they were able to make candles flame up really high or completely go out. They were able to make the pictures on the wall move. They were able to make tables completely lift off the floor, not just rock back and forth or shake.
Right. Right.
They were able to levitate these tables. So I'll go back to where we were trying to conjure up a spirit. And the experience that I had was that my whole body started shaking. It started from the bottom of the chair legs, went up the chair legs, up my whole body, up my spine, into my into my arms, into my hands, and into the table. It was like a current of electricity. And the table started shimmering and shaking, and then it started rocking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the interesting thing about it was that that's how they communicated, is the table would lift up and kind of balance on two legs or one leg, and then you'd ask it a question. You'd ask it, you know, are you young, are you old, are you male, are you female? And how it would answer is a yes or no question. They would come down and tap with the legs, yes, once, or no, twice. And what was so fascinating about this was that you could tell the different energies of the spirits. It wasn't the same every single time. Like, the spirit that she always used was an uncle who committed suicide. So when he came through, he was strong. I mean, the table was moving and you could feel the energy. It was very, very strong. And then when the uncle would go and get people that, other, you know, people that were participating in wanted to contact. And this one man wanted to contact a young woman who died of cancer. Well, when she came through, the table would barely lift up. It would be so weak, you know, and kind of fragile. And he would talk to her. And then there was another woman that talked to somebody, and it went on all night long. We did table tapping until the middle of the night, and it was so fascinating. I mean, just absolutely fascinating to do this with myself. And so after I table tapped and had the experience, I came to you and I shared
right.
it with you. And we had experiences because
right.
we worked with one of the women that I worked at the T-shirt factory, and she was used her mother to bring in spirits or to get the activity going. And that's when we started experimenting with it. We were using compasses. We did, what did we do? Ghost riding.
Right.
We
actually
did a lot
was able
of different
to almost
things.
Levitate, too, at one point. It was running around across the room, turned circles and went all the way to the stairs and almost kind of floated over the stairwell a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was pretty interesting stuff. I mean, what I like about table lifting, table tapping, is that it's easy access to the paranormal. You can provoke a ghost into an appearance and actually study the paranormal in the laboratory. So it's fascinating. But it's just like a Ouija board, right? That's what it basically is. So I think you have to be careful.
Well, with her, she had fire start in her kitchen.
Right.
Without any reason or rhyme or reason, the fire just, poof, started in the kitchen. My daughter got very upset about it. She did not like me table tapping at all.
Yeah, some people don't like it. They don't like it at all.
Well, she was young. She was a young girl, and she's very perceptive about all of that. And the medium that went through my house, he also said it was not a good idea. Victor.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but I think, you know, in the case of Marcel, if you do it with really positive energy, if you do it in the name of light, and you're doing it for the sake of healing, and for the sake of, you know, trying to resolve things so that people can move on, I think that's okay.
I agree.
If you're protected, you know?
Right. Well, I want to talk before, and we've only got like a few minutes left, 5 or 10 minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit about your career as an artist, because it's so cool and it's so impressive. And I mean, what started with just a couple of pictures, you know, has turned into this amazing, you know, body of work, which is just growing by leaps and bounds. You're working with so many different authors now. I remember one of the first pictures you drew for me was a picture, a drawing of a UFO shining down a beam of light. And
yeah.
Was this your first actual UFO picture you drew?
Uh-huh, that was the very first one over
that
Topanga.
That picture had legs. I used it as a flyer to have other people call me if they saw a UFO. I put under there in big letters, "Have you seen me? Call me." and put that picture on the flyer. And I got a lot of calls from it. And I found out years later people were actually taking the flyer and hanging it up and using it as art.
Oh! Yeah, you were wondering why it was disappearing.
Right, right. Well, I found it in people's homes, so. People told me they've seen it in other people's homes. So, just so you know, your art is getting out there. Now,
my art's on a spaceship, too.
Well, tell about that. That's cool.
Yeah, I did an illustration for Dr. Strangis. And
he
told me he took it to the ETs that he works with. I guess he's affiliated with them. He does work for them. And he took it to them, and they have it hanging up in their ship over at Lake Isabella, this big round orb UFO at Lake Isabella. It's invisible, of course.
Huh. You know, You might joke about that, but I wouldn't doubt at all that your art is being studied by the ETs, because they keep very close tabs on UFO research. I've got a lot of evidence of this. I mean, like when the book Communion came out, there's an account where ETs came into the bookstore. This was seen by one of the editors of the book Communion. And he saw these figures come into the bookstore and were reading the book and commenting on it. And he approached them, and they turned around and kind of confronted him. He said they were not human. They were all wrapped up in scarves and sunglasses and hats, but they were not human. But the point is, they were keeping tabs of UFO research. And I've asked other people to come on TV, and then the ETs come swooping down the next night and say, "No, we don't want you to go on TV." And I'm like, So clearly they're keeping tabs. They're reading our books. They're listening to this show, and they are looking at your art, no doubt in my mind, because that's how they work. They're all very much into sort of the very deep observation and study of all of this. For whatever reason,
well,
they're very interested
in that.
Cool.
That is so cool.
So
I wonder if the ghosts are, like, hanging out, too.
Well,
happy
like
Halloween!
We're never alone. People have spirit guides and the astral plane is pressed up right against us. So what's it like to draw ETs? I mean, talking to people to bring out to life these people's experiences. You know, not with just ETs, but ghosts, for that matter.
I get a reaction, that's for sure. If I get it right on and I draw it just exactly how they have it in their head, I get a reaction from them. They'll turn pale white, and some of them will even cry. It's really quite interesting. Yeah. I know that the person isn't experiencing what they're telling me when they don't react.
Huh.
So,
well, do you ever get a sense that the phenomenon itself is approaching you, or you know what I mean? Like, if you're drawing from ET, do you think the ET is aware that you're doing that, or the ghost?
You know, it's really weird because when I do this work, I kind of step inside of the person's shoes, and I'm there. I'm there when they're experiencing it. That's
okay.
How I can see it so clearly. And that's how I know when people are lying to me, because I can't seem to get there.
Huh.
And the people that are real clear and have actually had the experience, I'm right there, you know? I see it so clearly, especially if it's a physical experience that they've had.
Right.
People that have dreams and dream about it, it's a little vague. Some people's dreams are stronger than other people's dreams, but I find the dreaming realm a bit harder to get to in terms of, you know, trying to relate to what they're trying to convey to me. In terms of the aliens being conscious of me, I think so. I don't have any verifiable evidence of it except through other people, but no alien has ever come to me face to face and said, "Hey, you do great drawings. Will you do one of me?" You know? But
well,
I know what you're
happen.
Talking about.
That may happen.
I hope so.
All right. Well, just as long as you're prepared for it.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
Well, we have like
that
1 minute
nice.
Left. Do you want to give any last messages off to people who are seeing ghosts, or, you know, what do you think people should know about ghosts?
I think if you're really concerned about it, to just think about opening up a hole, like a tunnel of light for them to go through so that they can leave. And ghosts stay because they're worried or they're concerned or they're confused. And a lot of that could be the people that are with the ghosts that are causing
right.
this. You know, the big reason why they stay, the big reason why there's activity is because they're trying to communicate. But I find that they really are easy to release. In fact, they want to go into the light. They just maybe don't know how. Or
right.
something's holding them back. And that's the one thing that I would want to tell everybody, is to hold just great love and joy and happiness in their hearts and use that as a portal for them to go into the higher realms or the realms that they want to go to, you know.
Wow.
That's what I try to do.
Well, that sounds like a great way to end the show. Let's go down to the tunnel, to the ending of the show. I want to thank
and have
you,
a happy Halloween.
Thanks very much for coming on to the show. You're amazing. Your stories are incredible and just so blessed that you're a part of my life.
Oh, I'm blessed too, Preston. Bless you.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. That's been our show tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been my sister-in-law, Christine Kisara Dennett, and she has been talking about her many amazing ghostly encounters and a little bit about what it's like for her as a leading paranormal and UFO artist. She's got this website that you just have to check out. It is kisaraart.com. That's kisaraart.com. kisaraart.com. All one word. Check it out. It's some amazing stuff there. You will be amazed. All right. I hope you can join us next week when I'm bringing on another exciting guest. Till then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.